Some of you have been following my Bible study series on the letter of 1 John. I've been talking about how its main thing is that faith isn't just a set of things we believe in, it's the way we live our lives. I've also been comparing the NRSV translation, the Bible we usually use, to the translation that I did in college when I started studying Greek. The NRSV is a very good translation, labored over by a team of scholars who worked meticulously through each and every word, but there are always going to be words or phrases or idioms that don't quite translate from one language to another, even when there isn't a dividing wall of 2,000 years of human history separating us from the original text. For example, in English, we sometimes say that someone is feeling blue. You could translate that phrase directly into any language, but it might not keep the sense of feeling down and lonely. It would mean being the color of the sky, which probably wouldn't make much sense. The word love is one that's tricky to bring into English from Greek, because while Greek has multiple words for different kinds of love, English really just has the one. Cobalt and navy and cerulean are all different shades of blue. But if you only have one word for blue, there's no good way to distinguish between powder blue and royal blue, because what's the difference between blue as opposed to blue, or blue? I love my friends. I love dogs. I miss dogs. I love the church. I love books. These are all very different kinds of love, for all that it's the same verb. For that matter, I love it when my hair does what I want it to. I love tea. I love the singer Pink. I love the city of Oxford. See, in English, we don't have different words for different kinds of love, like Greek does. There is philia, the love between equals, the love of friends, the love within a family. There is also storge, a love that is like empathy, the love of parents for their children, the love of tender affection. Then there is agape, the love that God has for us and the love that we should have for God, the kind of love that is unconditional, the kind of love that wills the good of another. When we say the word love in English, especially in February, we tend to think of romantic love. There's a Greek word for that, too, but unless you're reading Song of Songs, that's never the kind of love that the Bible is talking about. I mention these different kinds of love, not because one is better than any other, because love is love and God is love. And because I want to emphasize that today's reading from Paul, which is a popular text for weddings, is actually about agape, the love of God. I often feel that our culture places romantic love as the most important relationship in a person's life, dominating music, literature, and film as its own genre. All forms of love are good and valid and should be celebrated. But on this particular day of the calendar year, many people feel invisible, because despite the number of deeply meaningful relationships they might have, they don't happen to have the one kind that gets its own arbitrary holiday. Our second reading this morning comes to us from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. Hear now the word of the Lord. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. Paul's description of love as being patient and kind, bearing, believing, hoping, and enduring all things, is a beautiful statement on the ideal of love. You might imagine it being read by a smiling pastor as she stands between two people holding hands and making promises to love and cherish each other. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. But also imagine a different tone. Paul's statement on love being read by a frustrated pastor as she tries not to rip her hair out over the stress of a community full of problems and disagreements, as all communities are. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Paul's letters to the Corinthians were written in the hope that he might help resolve some of the problems in the Christ-following community in Corinth. He addressed specific concerns and questions and hoped that he could help the community return their focus to Christ rather than their personal problems. But even though this message was intended for a specific group of people, all people could use the reminder. Be patient, peoples. Be kind. It is the love of our community and the love of God that will get us through.